We bring you the Defenders Live with our very own Miss Anna Edwards. Let's hear what Miss Anna has to say. Anna, take it away.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live. This is your host, Anna Edwards, and today is Monday. Defenders Live is brought to you as a production of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And to learn more, visit our website at defendersfje.org and defendersfje.blogspot.com. Well, happy Memorial Day to you. I'm sure if you are awake that you are getting ready for your barbecue, your family gathering, your honoring of possibly friends and family who have perished in the military in one war or another. And for those of you who are grieving, we send you our respects. And at the same time, with obviously a profound desire for the end to all wars and the need for military of any kind in this world. We are here today with SPARC. SPARC is an organization that has recently come to Richmond, and they are at the moment a group that is supporting Virginia hunger strikers. Sorry about that. On Tuesday, May 22nd, a group of prisoners held in Virginia's notorious Red Onion Supermax prison began a hunger strike to demand that the Virginia Department of Corrections, the DOC, follow its own regulations in regard to meals, sanitation, isolation, safety, and procedures for processing prisoner grievances. Now, if you have any track record with the Defenders at all, you know that one of the first issues we ever took on was jail and prison conditions. And it is amazing to find that we are at a point at which prisoners have found that they have had to come together and pull together a hunger strike in order to not request anything new and not request anything other than what is already supposed to be regulated in the prison system. So nobody is asking to get out. Nobody is asking for a pardon. In spite of whether or not those things may be actually warranted or deserved. At this point, they have 10 demands that relate specifically to upholding standing regulations. Our three guests today are Joshua DePaulis, Adam Ryan, and Isis Hodari. And to each of you in turn, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. All right.
Isis, you recently spoke at a press conference about this issue. Could you give us a little bit of a background about your involvement and where we are?
Basically, I'm just doing it as a person who has family members in prison, Red Onion to be exact. And these are just some of the things that I enjoy doing, supporting community, upholding righteousness, and just things of that nature. And it just is something that's drawn to me.
Then do you have family members who are a part of this strike?
No, I found out that they actually weren't a part of the strike. They didn't even know that the strike was going on. However, he is an active member of organizing within the prison system.
Very good, very good. As far as we know right now, the strike is still going on. Is that correct?
That is correct. To our knowledge, the strike is still going on.
So tell me a little bit again about SPARC and what you're doing. Now, you all have recently come to Richmond. Is that right?
Adam, yes, and John, I met them coming down here. I'm actually, from Richmond.
Okay.
And I met them through a lot of people. I met them when they got down here. Mm-hmm. I was interested. We instantly all just hit it off and saw that we was on the same page. And I just wanted to jump on board and be a part of something different.
All right. Okay, Adam, so tell me, how did you get involved with Spark and then this particular issue?
Well, probably about a little over a year ago, it was Josh's mom, actually. She's kind of like the glue that holds Spark together. And I was in Southwest Virginia at the time. And, you know, I've been politically conscious for some time now and been looking to get involved in some way. I mean, there's obviously a lot of issues that can be addressed within this country and around the world, a lot of different causes to get behind. But it just so happened by chance that I met Kim, and she was doing this thing, you know, writing to prisoners. And I actually didn't know a lot about prisoner issues. And I would say I probably buyed into a lot of the misconceptions that the general public has about prisoners and what the conditions are like and who these type of people are, what their moral character is and things like that. And so initially when I was approached by it, I was actually kind of hesitant. I didn't know if I wanted to be putting my energy into this, not knowing what was going on and due to those misconceptions that I had. And through doing some studying and research and Kim sharing the correspondence and a lot of the history that she had been a part of with these prisoners in the Virginia DOC, I found that, you know, these conditions are just horrendous. It's really unfathomable in a lot of ways how these guys are being treated and how the general public has no idea what's going on. And you know, I feel like it is definitely not unfair to say that what these guys are being subjected to are very similar to some of the most reactionary and fascist regimes that have existed throughout history. And, you know, so once I did this research and found out about these conditions, I felt that this was a very worthy cause to be a part of, and got on board and started corresponding with prisoners. I actually have been corresponding with one of the strike leaders at Red Onion for a little over a year now, and I can vouch for this man and his moral integrity and his righteousness as well. So I just have the greatest amount of respect for these guys that are able to come together and do this in some of the most oppressive conditions known to human existence.
Now, you say, Joshua, your mother, is she in essence the founder of the organization, or did you all sort of talk about that, the origins of Spark?
The way Spark originated, and of course now it's gone well beyond that origin, because we've got chapters in Richmond, we got chapter in Southwest Virginia, we got a very large chapter in District of Columbia. But it actually started out because for years there were a few of us in like small town and rural Virginia who were doing support for prisoners in the supermaxes, mm-hmm. especially like specifically members of the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. And after a while, we decided that it would make sense to formalize it more. And I'd say if anybody actually like really kickstarted the formalization, it would probably have been Kevin Rashid Johnson of the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. And he actually wrote like an article called "The Mission of Spark" that's somewhere on the internet. But well, he's not actively involved currently because they transferred him to Oregon.
Okay. Yeah. That's another tactic. let me quickly give people some of those online resources. One, of course, is the Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, you go to Solidarity for Virginia Prison Hunger Strikers. In addition, there is the sparkva.wordpress.com website. And then finally, there is the site that is specific to this action, which is Virginia Prison Strike. blogspot.com. Talk about this particular strike. You all have been in touch with some of the folks that are involved in the prison strike, but as we were talking at the beginning of the show, you haven't heard from anyone since Friday. Is that correct? I mean, I think one of the things that would help people maybe understand is, one is, how do you get to have communications with people who are living in such oppressive circumstances? It seems, on the one hand, understandable if you can talk about people, you know, essentially they're locked away, they are somewhere else, they are not in control of their environment, and yet they are able to organize a hunger strike and communicate with the outside world, and you all are supporters of this, and you've been in contact with them. So if you could talk a little bit about, you know, just the process, how do you get to be involved, and how do they actually get to conduct a hunger strike? Which one of you wants to take that one? Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Well, you know, this is an extraordinary circumstance, so the tactics had to change in terms of communication with these guys in the hunger strike. But prior to that, we were pretty much secluded to just letter writing and, you know, maybe the occasional personal visits at the facilities. But with this, it is so important that we have much more immediate contact with these guys, because we need to know their physical condition, their mental condition. If they're facing repression from the prison guards and the DOC itself, so we had to establish legal representatives for these guys. You know, they get more as legal representatives. They get more privileges or rights to contact the inmates. Mm-hmm. You know, they get calls, they can get visits, they can assign legal assistants to go and visit. And that's what we've had to do with the hunger strike. It's what's been had to done in other hunger strikes, like in California or Georgia. Otherwise, I mean, if we didn't, well, our letters probably would be blocked and we'd never hear from these guys. And, you know, it can take anywhere from a week to 2 weeks to get a response from these people. So, that's basically the summary of how we are able to be in contact with these guys with legal assistance, essentially.
Okay. And so the last time you did talk to them was, you said, Friday.
Yeah, the legal contact was on Friday. It was a phone call. We did have some representatives go down on Saturday, but that was to visit the individuals in general population, not segregation, which is where the hunger strike is taking place, is in segregation. We're supposed to be in contact with one of the strike leaders within the next couple days, probably via phone call, and we'll have some updates by then. But right now, we're having to just kind of wait on pins and needles until then.
Right. It was apparently in the Daily Paper that it's been reported by the communications person for the DOC that the strikers actually had a meal over the weekend, and therefore the hunger strike is over. But as you say, you've not been in touch since, so there's no confirmation for your part for that. Is that right?
And it's worth pointing out too, well, we haven't had any confirmation, and also this was a tactic that was very consistently used in California during the hunger strike there, where they would both try to claim it wasn't happening, and when they were no longer able to do that, they would try to minimize the extent of participation.
Sure.
Because I've definitely also seen, like, the DOC ratcheting down the number of people who are allegedly involved from, like, around 20 to 11 to the latest estimate I heard was 7, and we have no independent confirmation for that either.
Wow. And have they, is that something that they have been sort of, they've been doing that all throughout this process?
Yeah.
And I do remember, you know, that initially there was that statement that they could not confirm that it was actually happening. But yeah, I mean, obviously there would be a lot of sympathy for the idea of somebody holding a hunger strike, because they're obviously willing to put their life on the line. And again, the demands in this instance are, it's very interesting that we are really looking at a basic upholding of existing regulations, and I'll just read a couple of them here. The first one is, well, the statement reads, "We prisoners at Red Onion State Prison demand the right to an adequate standard of living while in the custody of the state. We demand fully cooked food and access to better quality of fresh fruit and vegetables. In addition, we demand increased portions on our trays, which allows us to meet our basic nutritional needs as defined by the Virginia DOC regulations. 2, we demand that every prisoner at Red Onion have unrestricted access to complaint and grievance forms and other paperwork we may request. 3, we demand better communication between prisoners and higher-ranking guards. Presently, higher-ranking guards invariably take the lower-ranking guard's side in disputes between prisoners and guards, forcing the prisoner to act out in order to be heard. We demand that higher-ranking guards take prisoner complaints and grievances into consideration without prejudice. I could go on, but I think one of the things that seems clear here is that what people are subject to and is the arbitrary nature of their imprisonment, is the fact that they are subject to the whim of the people who have control of them, and typically it's going to be the one who has the most direct, and the reference to the lower ranking guard sounds like it has to do with that. That's my musical cue to let you know that you are listening to The Defenders Live here on WRAR. It's 97.3 LPFM radio. It's Richmond's radio for the rest of us. Defenders Live is brought to you as a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. And to learn more, please visit defendersfje.org and defendersfje.blogspot.com. If you're just joining us, we are in conversation today with SPARC. And SPARC, I actually didn't even define it. Joshua, what does that stand for?
Supporting prisoners and acting for radical change.
All right. And our three representatives today are Joshua DePaulis, Adam Ryan, and Isis Hodari. Isis, tell me, what do you think are the next steps at this point?
excuse me. I think the next steps are for the outside, the public, to just stay on top of things. They're in there, as you said earlier, putting their lives on the line. And so the best thing we can do is not give up. Even if they get tired, we have to just keep pressing the issue and keep putting it out in the public and just making people constantly aware of what's going on with them. I think a more public... more press conferences and maybe even community day. You might have a parade for it. You don't never know where it might take you. You might have to go to other states and take extreme action to be heard. But what we're not going to do is give up on these guys and definitely let them know that the public is there. We're going around getting petitions signed from the public, and we have a couple of hundreds, actually, of people who's, for them, and so that's just something that I feel that they need to know and there.
Right. And do you have, is it petition online or is it a paper petition?
Both online and paper petition.
Okay. And so is that at the blog, Virginia Prison Strike .blogspot.com?
Yeah, it should be on there, provided under the resources. Okay. I believe, or if not there, on one of the
maybe
links.
Maybe the take action.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be the good one, right? Yeah, so yeah, the links on the website, when you get there, it's virginiaprisonstrike.blogspot.com, and the title, of course, is Solidarity with Virginia Prison Hunger Strikers, and there is a take action page, and your recommendations, of course, are the standard write letters to prisoners, and organize a solidarity demonstration. I understand somebody is organizing a letter writing event. I think that's coming up, and keeping it in the public eye. Like the 10 demands. I mean, what do you all think about those demands?
They're pretty basic. I mean, what they're asking for is pretty much what any regular person will want. For example, one that stands out to me is the sponge. It irks me. They have to clean their toilet, their sinks, inside out with the same exact sponge. And I mean, would you clean your bathroom with the same thing? I don't think so. Right. So it's not like they're saying, hey, can we get some Red Lobster on Tuesday? They just want to clean their cell with something decent, yeah. And they don't have proper, they have watered down, sprays that that's not really, getting rid of the bacteria.
It's not an things. Actual cleaning agent.
Exactly. They want toothpaste that don't cause them gum disease. I don't think that's too much to ask for. So it tickles me a bit to, see those demands. It also let me know that things didn't change. My family member who's in there actually wrote me a list of complaints about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when these complaints was shown to me, It was as if I was reading a letter that he had sent home. So it was nothing different.
Right.
He was actually in another facility at the time, and so it's the same things going on throughout. And the hardest part about DOC is, you know, the chain of command, even up to the regional directors and all these people that you're supposed to talk to, they take up for each other, you know.
Sure.
So I think it's pretty sad. I think that people's problems are they want to be judgmental about people. Another thing they do is they're constantly showing the D.C. sniper and the guy that killed the Harvey family as if that's how everybody, their crimes is that extreme up there. And the majority of the people that's up there, usually when you get to these high levels, what people don't know is it's something that you pretty much did within the system. You may have gotten into a fight or some of that nature that will actually get you to these levels. It's not like you go from the city straight there unless you really, you know, are doing something extreme. But most of the people are there are locals that was just sent there. It's all about money. You know, it's all about money. They have people from the Virgin Islands in Virginia. So
people who committed crimes in
from Virgin
Islands are being housed in the
Virginia prisons, but yet we're overcrowded. So, you know,
right, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, it's if you build it, they will come, or you know, we will buy them. So,
exactly.
You know, here they are. It makes me want to sort of ask a question too. Again, this is not you're talking about. This is not an isolated dynamic. The demands of this particular group of hunger strikers is not significantly different than some others. The conditions that they're reporting is not significantly different than, like I said, as we were working on 10 years ago. Josh, can you talk a little bit about what SPARC hopes to accomplish with this, but in the context of the larger goals of SPARC?
In a broader context, well, I mean, specifically, I think we hope we can use this as a way to sort of ratchet up a notch a movement around and against the prison system in Virginia. You know, just use the energy that's accumulated around this issue and make sure it doesn't dissipate. And, you know, like ISIS was saying, just keep on pushing it forward and keep the pressure up regardless of what happens, specifically with this strike, because I'm sure there will be others because these issues are going to remain. And unfortunately, it's unlikely that the DOC is going to concede even on issues like this at any time in the near future. But, I mean, in the broader perspective, I think, you know, it's just, to me, I think what the strikers in Red Onion State Prison are doing is actually really an example for us all, because if, you know, you can organize to resist the system in what is literally the most oppressive environment you're going to see anywhere, then we can definitely do it in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what SPARC is about, just like organizing a mass-based working-class movement against these kind of structures that we have in our society, unfortunately.
Right, right. Yeah, well, it's, I mean, that's what sort of becomes obvious at a certain point. You can hear, you can feel, you can see the connections between the structure of our prison system with the structure of the economic structure of our society. And so, you know, we talk about the fact that, you know, why are there so many prisoners in our system? And, you know, on a most fundamental level, it's because we don't make use of them otherwise. There aren't the jobs. The economy is not supporting people to be employed productively, and therefore the system needs to make money off of them in another way. We talk about the throwaway populations and the throwaway generations, and unfortunately more and more. I mean, I'm one of those people who I have two sons, and I feel constantly for people who have sons. I feel for daughters too, but when I'm talking sort of about the dynamic of how we characterize our young men and the fact that they are at the same time considered to be people who have the most promise in our societies, at the same time are the most vulnerable in terms of their role in this economic system. And when our young people of color, with the dominant population, at least percentage-wise, being you know, African American, Hispanic American, the growing immigrant population in our prisons, but usually we're talking about people who are poor. the most disadvantaged in our communities are the ones that are ending up being cycled through this prison system. And the real issue, you know, is also that they're not just being cycled in, they're being cycled in to stay. It's about making sure that they go back if they do get out. And if they do get out, the mechanisms for transitioning people back into productive life are fraught with barriers that are just remarkable to behold. And people, like you said, Adam, when you said, you know, you had those misconceptions about people in prison and who they were and their moral character and, you know, and all of that. And what we're finding out is that we are crushing people at a point at which they are the most vulnerable, as they are approaching adulthood, as they are learning to make decisions, and then you know, when they're supposed to get out because they've supposedly paid their debt to society, it's not there for them. It is not there for them, and this is a deep, deep problem and a deep, deep look that we have to constantly be involved in our society. The last thing, you know, as the show is coming to an end, is, you know, just if you each could quickly say what you would like people to do next. How can they help you in the here and now, like over the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, Isis?
Well, definitely check out some of those sites that we mentioned online and become more open-minded. That's always what I can say if they want to help me. Mm-hmm. Be open-minded, you know, take a different approach and get rid of that tunnel vision, because, you know, you really can misconstrue something by just having a small mind or thinking of things one way, you know. And just like I said, check us out, check those things out. We're looking to have some meetings coming up where we're looking for new members to come on. And
okay.
That
information will be on the website.
Correct.
VirginiaPrisonStrike.blogspot.com.
Correct.
All right, cool. Thank you, Isis.
All right.
Adam?
Well, if people really want to show their solidarity and speak directly to the prisoners, there is a radio station in Whitesburg, Kentucky called WMMT. And they have a radio program called Holler to the Hood that plays from 9 to 10 tonight. And if people call from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., they can express their solidarity with the hunger strikers. You know, some of them have lost their radios, but a lot of them have not. And, you know, there's like 3 major prisons in that area, and the prisoners are constantly listening to this radio show to hear from loved ones. And it would mean a lot to them, I think, including the hunger strikers, to hear messages of solidarity. And
and what's that website again? It's
WMMT.
Okay.
On Apple Shop. And I can give that number really quick.
Really quick.
It's 1-888-396-1208.
Okay. Thank you, Adam, very much. Josh, we are running out of time. Do you have two words?
I would like to say that there's going to be a vigil at the governor's mansion on Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening. So if people could come out to that would be great.
All right. Very good. And I'll have that information on our website for folks as well. Thank all three of you for joining me today and bringing some emphasis to this particular issue. And we will keep the hunger strikers in our thoughts and in our plans as we go forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Defenders Live. We will talk to you next week. Keep up the struggle, and remember that kindness does matter. Thanks.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.